The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is February 3rd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning, and this is C.A. Nery. Today, I'm going to continue a conversation. We're going to talk about marital rape. I need to understand whether we are soberly looking at this. This whole thing is a feminist agenda. And forgive me, because I'm using that feminist word. And I would listen to your show earlier and speak about feminist movement and even a movement for women. But I still... I'm questioning whether Bohemians act for this. And when I say Bohemians, I mean Bohemians. Are Bohemian women advocating to have marital, and give me some time, marital rape on the books? Because there has been the Progressive Liberal Party, the Free National Movement as a party, who have been flexing, who have been reflexive regarding their response, and I'm not sure if the who and what they are responding to. And perhaps that is the reason why at the end of all of this debate, at the end of all this cry, the end of all of this angst, the conclusion was what we all anticipated. We ain't touching this at all. We ain't even gonna entertain the conversation, because a man can't rape a good wife. If a wife, man and a wife are having problems, you get a divorce. If you get an assault, assault is an affair, and then there's, what's the next one after assault, Aaron? The next word?
Assault is putting battery. Someone in fear that you're fear. Going to batter them, and batter, then battery yes. is hitting them or injuring them or touching them in a harmful way or in an unwanted way.
Yes. We have battery on the books. We have battery on your husband battered you. Report him to the police and say, my husband battered me. But how can he rape you? Now, mind you, I could see it because I know violence. I know violence because I grew up in the inner city. I've heard cries in the middle of the night whilst I sleep in my clapboard house and say, oh, Lord, Mr. So-and-so doing it again to his wife. He's battering her. Right? And I always question, why don't she leave? Why don't she run away? I remember one time I was 19, and one of the ladies next door was looking for a job. And when I say lady, she was woman to me. I was 19 years old. And I said, my place of employment is looking for a cleaner of the building, right? And I told her, ma'am, this don't pay much money. But if you want this job and you're asking me for a job to help, I'm willing to go to my boss, the president, and plead and say, you are my family member, and can she get a job to just clean on the weekends to make whatever ends meet. Just then, her husband came by. Actually, he called, and his daughter said, where are you, mommy? She's outside talking to Cecil. Everyone knows me in the neighborhood. And he said, what? And he comes speeding home. And the type of abuse he gave her till I got terrified, right? I was damaged.
You know what it takes to terrify a 19-year-old man who bold enough to tell a woman who's woman to him, I can help you get a job?
I was damaged. I went home, teary-eyed to my mother, mm-hmm. right? Even to my stepfather and say, the man is abusing his wife. And all I did was trying to help her because she's not upset with me. I'm upset with her daughter. He should have known better, he said, to do that. I would have spoken to his daughter, not his wife. So I understand abuse, right? I see it. I remember my stepfather mentioned to me, you know, you don't get involved or between marital people business, because you will get involved and she will forgive him tomorrow. And tomorrow came and she forgave him. They were still together. I think they're still together.
You ever been to Stockholm?
So the Stockholm Syndrome thing? No, but go ahead.
No, I mean...
No, but...
Because that's a salient part of this discussion. Why doesn't she leave? Why don't more people intervene? More people don't intervene because we have perpetuated a trope, a lie, even, that you don't interfere in married people business.
Don't interfere in married people
but
business?
No, no. Here's the thing. Let's talk about that right now before I talk to you about my new business venture, Greens, Grits, and Gravy Grotto.
That sounds violent. But go ahead. Just talk.
You ever seen gravy bubbling in a pot?
Yes, I've seen
gravy. Catalytic reactions. Natural, but violent. Okay, so back to this, you don't interfere in marriage thing. I've been to a couple of weddings, right? I've only been invited to a handful of weddings. I've been to a couple of weddings. One wedding I didn't go to. I met the people or that, but I didn't go to it. I felt a little bit uncomfortable, and I could tell you why. Because the previous wedding I'd gone to, in the litany, like when you're in the service, in the booklet they give you when you come in your clothes to the wedding, so they know you are part of the wedding. In the Anglican Church, in the litany, there's a part of the service that speaks to the congregation. It speaks to the people in the church, not the husband and the wife, not the bride and the groom, but to those that they invited to be a part of this wedding sacrament. See, the process itself has a part where it invites, it tells you to bring with you those who are a part of your community, those who are a part of your family, so that they can also take part in this sacrament. And that sacrament asks you, are you prepared to stand up in and for this marriage? Are you prepared to be a part of it, to help them strengthen their marriage? So this foolish trope that people have perpetuated out of fear and discomfort, we need to do away with it. Because the ceremony itself, the most sacred part of it, the litany, tells you to invite those who you want to be a part of this marriage.
I hear all of that. I right now I want you
to... You ever heard it in church?
Yeah, I'm sure
I've just been checking the part.
Our AG, Attorney General of the Bahamas, is a sensible man. He's a sensible man, and he's a sensitive man. He's a proponent of animals' rights, women's rights, right? He's heralded that. We know that this is what he does, right? He's a feeler. But he came recently, right? This is why I want you to read this article, because something gone wrong, right? Because we know he cares about women. I would even dare say that the Attorney General is a feminist. How is it that he does not see the need to create laws to protect Bahamian women? Or did he conclude that what y'all talking about, what you feminists are talking about, is not needed in the Commonwealth? If it's not needed, or we say, what is needful is lawful. I don't know if that's where the quote go. If it's not needed in the Commonwealth of Bahamas, they're not planning to entertain it.
So let me ask you a question before I go to the article to read the AG's words, right? How many rape victims have to formally lobby? How many victims of rape within a marriage? See, we don't have a criminal offense called marital rape, right? How many victims of rape within a marriage or sexual violence within a marriage, how many do we need before the lobby is a legitimate lobby? One, two, and how many of those victims have to be men? How many of those victims have to be men before the lobby becomes a legitimate lobby?
I assume that's a rhetorical question. Go and read my
article. I mean, no, it's a real question. I would like to know.
Do you have any data of Bahamian women crying out that their husband Rabin. I think I saw an article, but I don't remember. Has anyone put any data out saying 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000 women?
Yeah, there is reference to data. A 2023 University of the Bahamas study found that 30% of Bahamian women were victims of rape in a long-term relationship, and over 50% of adults favored changing the law to remove the marital exception in cases of rape. And that's from the article, Marital Rape Laws Not Expected by End of Term, Friday's Tribune.
What year is that? 2023?
The study is 2023.
And I want to interrogate that. You're saying 30% of what?
It said that 30% of Bahamian women were victims of rape in a long-term relationship. Now,
30%?
Yeah, now let me stick a pin here. Remember the study where they interviewed 10th graders and 12th graders?
Yes.
On attitudes. One of the things that I found is that although there's a clear distinction between a married relationship and a non-married relationship, like there's not a clear distinction of the rules. Like, we apply some of the same rules for marriage we apply in long-term non-married relationships.
Yeah. We have common law wives here.
Right.
And husbands. So, yes, I can appreciate that. But 30% seems kind of high. I dare not question the university because this is what they do.
It is, hold on, 30% is high. To hear that, a third of the women say that, that's a high number. Is it abnormally high compared to, right, that one in the Caribbean region, 1 in 3 women experience rape or extreme sexual violence in their lifetime? So, in and of itself, the stat is horrible. There's no way we should tolerate that 30% of women experience this. But it aligns with the regional stats. The regional stat is 1 in every 3 women experience rape or extreme sexual violence in their lifetime.
The article that you read just now also mentioned 50% of the Bahamian women do what?
No. It said 50%. Oh, it says over 50% of adults favored changing the law to remove the marital exception in cases of rape. So it's saying that over 50% of adults favored amending the law to remove the words "who is not their spouse."
So you're saying that if the Bahamian government had decided to enact a law, the majority of Bahamians would support it?
Okay. When the survey says over 50%, right? Or the study says over 50% of adults favor changing the law to remove the marital exception. On the surface, we say, okay, well, that suggests that if it went to referendum or if it went to a vote, then the majority of people would vote that way. It's more nuanced, though. For me, as an advocate, when I'm looking at studies like this, I also remember who is more inclined to participate in a study.
Hmm.
Right? And so that 50% may not be reflected in a broader vote, right? And then how are people deterred and encouraged to actually participate in a public voice? You may find that more people would speak honestly if they could maintain anonymity. But people who are required to go out into a public process to vote may tend to just vote with the crowd in fear of being highlighted as an outsider, an outlier, a traitor, right? But in some corners. And so, yeah, that's the stat, and that's from Marital Rape Laws Not Expected by End of Term, Friday, the 31st of January, 2025, Nassau Tribune.
Okay. What the Attorney General said, because I want to understand his thinking, his logic. And by extension, I would assume that his cabinet colleagues also would conclude the same thing, because he would have informed them, so this is our stance, that's the government, right? That because the government would be bringing the law, right, that we have concluded together that no, not at this particular time. So I want to understand the stance of our government on why they ain't enacting this law.
Well, let's read from Friday's article, Nassau Guardian. AG, government won't move forward with marital rape. Attorney General Ryan Pinder said last night that he does not believe the Davis administration will move forward with an amendment to criminalize marital rape because of the fear that the party may lose votes in an election. In 2022, the Office of the Attorney General drafted an amendment to the Sexual Offenses Act that would repeal Section 3 of the current law by removing the words, "who is not a spouse," definition of rape. However, aside from a few public consultations, there has been no movement on the bill. Pinder, who was the featured speaker during legal week at the University of the Bahamas, was asked if the government is minded to bring the bill before the end of the term. Pinder said, quote, "I don't think so," close quotes. Asked why not, he responded, quote, "I think you would have heard the panel discuss the political impacts on that," close quotes. Asked whether there is a concern about losing votes, the Attorney General said, quote, "I think every administration in the history of the Bahamas who has put this on the table and had it in front of it is worried about the same issue. There's nothing unique about this. There's a reason that no administration has passed it, and every single administration has drafted a bill. Every single one." Following his comments, Pinder added that, quote, "based on our consultations, it was clear there wasn't yet a consensus and more education and consultation is necessary," close quotes. Prior to his address, a panel discussion featuring former Minister of State in the Ministry of Legal Affairs, Damian Gomez Casey, Senator Michael Barnett Ellis, Marion Bethel, a CEDAW member, Magistrate Ian Marie Darville Miller, an attorney, Devard Francis, was held on marital rape. A panel discussion featuring these speakers was held on marital rape. When asked by a moderator to explain some of the resistance to criminalizing marital rape, Barnett Ellis said, quote, "there is a view that to deal with this uncomfortable issue is going to adversely impact them at the polls. Let's keep it real," close quotes. Bethel agreed. That's Marion Bethel. Quote, "administrations have been afraid of moving to enact this legislation that criminalized marital rape," she said. Quote, "it is a political issue. I think there is a sense of wanting to appease certain sectors of the religious community, some of whom are powerfully opposed to it, and there are votes involved in that. I think there is also a sense of I think there's also a sense of wanting to appease men, quite frankly. Men are very fragile and afraid of this. I think a part of the answer to that is conversation about this issue and what it means to love your wife, respect her, and have consensual sex," close quotes. Gomez said, "it is strange that the current status quo still exists." He noted that there are a lot of women who live with men and are not married, and there is no report of an, quote, "explosion of rapes," close quotes. With the premise that you can only do what is being permitted under the present circumstances if your wife is a slave or somehow an indentured servant, close quotes, Gomez said, quote, "if that is the case, then this is essentially a violation of Article 18 of the Constitution. Are we really a country that abolished slavery in the 1830s? The whole struggle for freedom, the whole struggle for us as a people, to be even recognized as people, both locally and abroad, is completely inconsistent with the existence of this immunity that is being afforded to husbands, and afforded at a time when we know that this position has dubious roots," close quote, end of article. So it's something.
I got two uneasiness from that article, by the way.
Here's my thing. This question of political expediency, right? Like, well, it won't be eased with this decision, so we're not going to make this decision. And surely you should understand that, right? That is the tension. But how many other issues has the government completely ignored the will of the people on? Mm. How many other issues has the government completely ignored and articulated opposition, right, to a particular issue?
I note the Attorney General mentioned that both political parties, major political parties, mm-hmm. put forward a bill and that the bill went nowhere.
Here's another quote. Asked whether there is a concern about losing votes, the Attorney General said, quote, I think every administration in the history of the Bahamas who has put this on the table and had it in front of it is worried about the same issue. There's nothing unique about this. There's a reason that no administration has passed it, and every single has drafted a bill, every single one, close quotes.
That's a serious indictment about our government.
Okay, and here's another thing. If it were not an important discussion, why would they continue drafting bills? No, not to bring it up. Why would they continue drafting bills?
To appease women like you. You all want to be appeased, so they put it forward to appease you.
Knowing fully well they wasn't planning to go any further. They don't need to appease women like me, right? First of all, they don't let me get married. They ain't letting me get married to talk about I could abuse my spouse, right? So put even though the way that we read spouse in the Constitution suggests that I could get married, that ain't the point. They don't allow me. And then what are they going to do? Allow me to get married so I could abuse a man with impunity? Because this is gender neutral. Even though the preponderance of violence is directed towards women spouses, towards wives, men can also be raped, and they will also have no protection. Marital rape, right?
I'm going to go to the caller. I'm not sure this narrative you say men can also be rape is accurate, but because rape is penetration.
No, rape is, first of all...
Rape is penetration.
Rape is not just penetration. Rape. Second of all, men can have physiological responses in their body that they cannot control. They can be rendered erect and have no control over it.
No, I agree with that.
This is documented.
I'm saying rape is penetration.
Man, I can find.
Rape is not penetration.
The law has been expanded.
So okay, so you could rape someone, but do not penetrate them.
The law has been expanded.
No, just asking. Let's go to the caller here. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio 96.9. Guardian Radio. How you doing?
Good morning, Yuri.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
When they talk about abuse, there are many types of abuse, right?
Yes, sir. Yep, there's financial violence. Our law recognizes now financial abuse, psychological and emotional abuse, along with physical abuse.
Okay, and then I'm pondering over the term rape, which is almost like a dirty word.
It is.
When you're talking about a relationship and where people should be consensual,
mm-hmm.
Now let's take it to the point of when someone abuse a child,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they go and they would say, what is it?
They won't call it unlawful sexual intercourse?
Okay, but they ain't saying rape.
They took, I don't know why they will not give us a clear ration. I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. Perhaps I have not found it. I will say that policymakers have reached out and shared info with me that I continue to pore over, right? But a clear and concise rationale for changing the language or creating a new offense or ignoring what is on the books. Why do we no longer talk about statutory rape? Why are we talking about unlawful sexual intercourse?
And in a marriage, the grounds for a divorce
mm-hmm.
or separation can be just abuse, right?
Yes, so, it can be.
Yeah, so if they don't even have to get to the term of calling it rape, the grounds that you have abused your partner sexually is a grounds for separation, bonding them over the peace, and whatever it may be. Some people may, the female may use it to her advantage. I had a friend that worked in the court, and she said to me, she said, boy, I got married. I mean, I got my divorce and say, I'm so sorry. I said, the lies I told on my husband, I was sorry afterwards. But I got my divorce. You see, people use things to their advantage when it can just be left at the simple balance of just saying, you've been abused. It doesn't have to say you sexually abused when you file or mental abuse. Abuse is abuse under the grounds that you want to be separated from the relationship or you want to be separate or to cancel the marriage is good enough. Why are we making all kind of hay over this issue of someone, you rape your wife.
They won't lock the man up. Rape your husband. That's the long and short. They won't lock the man up. Thank you very much, Cole.
That is one specific example. That's not everybody's experience, right? In that instance, I think Johnson earlier spoke to what may be at the center of that dynamic, which is with this particular instance that the caller just gave, which is why is it so difficult to get a divorce? Why do people have to wait 2 years before they could begin a divorce proceeding? And then I see you, caller, but I want to read quickly from this article. PM suggests rape a ground for divorce, 6th of September, 2022. Hold on. PM Davis said yesterday he found a recent ruling by a Supreme Court judge declining to accept marital rape as a ground for divorce curious, given that rape amounts to physical abuse. Well, the judge couldn't accept marital rape as a ground for divorce because there is no criminal offense called marital rape. Right? If the courts don't recognize marital rape, then how could a judge recognize marital rape, right, as a ground for divorce? Explicitly, Supreme Court Justice Denise Lewis Johnson did grant the woman the divorce on the ground of, quote, cruelty, close quotes, which is one of the grounds for divorce in Bahamian law. However, Davis appeared to suggest that the judge ought to have accepted, quote, rape, close quotes, as a ground for divorce. Quote, it's curious that a judge can say that a woman who claims that she was raped by her husband cannot use that as a ground of divorce when physical abuse could be physical abuse. Close quotes. He said, quote, I don't quite follow that ruling. First of all, violence is violence. I don't like describing rape at all. I think marital is descriptive, that this detracts from the substance of what rape is all about. Rape is a violation of somebody's body without their consent in circumstances where consent is necessary. Close quotes.
The Prime Minister's position is clear.
No, it's not clear. I would like to follow that up with a series of statements from the Prime Minister that suggests that it's not clear, but let's go to the caller first.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guided Radio. Thank you for holding. Okay, glad you called back to the next line. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Yuri and Ms. Green. How are you all doing this morning?
Good, thank you, sir.
Okay, good. Well, this thing of marital rape, when exactly this really came about? When did this really start? Because my mommy them and my auntie them and my grand,
it started well back. I want to say in the 1600s. Hold on, pause. In the 1600s, in the infancy of marriage law, is when it was declared that a woman is a property of a man and he could do what he want with her. So it started way back then, like 1600s.
Man own a woman property unless he made them. He can't even bond them unless he made them. But back on to what I'm saying quickly, because I know you're out of time soon. But it's all of just knowing your significant other. I have been married for about 18 years before the passing of my wife.
Yes, sir.
And the minute I walk into my door, the minute I open my front door, I can almost tell you the mood that my wife is in. Either by the music she playing, sometimes by the food what she cooking through the week, or by, you know, I go home, my kids stand in bed at 7 o'clock. I know that's...
It's you know that she's
you
preparing.
You have to know your partner. Right. You have to learn. See, you just can't... You have to learn your partner. And you shouldn't have the right. A woman is entitled to say no. That's her body. Mm-hmm. She's entitled to that.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes, you now mind you, you have some women who be niggly and rude with it, you know, but you ain't do this for me, so I ain't doing that for you. That's pure prostitution in the marriage.
It's making dynamics transactional.
It is a
dysfunctional or problematic way to deal with conflict in the relationship.
But Ms. Green, let me ask you this, and I gotta go on this. Mr. Nuri, I want you to get on this too. How many times do your husband have to rape you to know that you marry a rapist? Is it the first time you go to the police station, or he has to do it several times before you considered it a rape?
Now, look, listen, because you see how you said that? Because the same question arose, like, saying that someone lied the same thing as saying that someone is a liar, right?
Yeah.
But in the relationship now, in terms of, like, from the subjective, at what point is a woman going to say, okay, this boy, puss, like, I'm prepared to accept that he may have lost his mind for a second, right? He may have lost his head. He may have been drunk, right? He may get ridiculed at work. Somebody crack a joke on him and they wouldn't let it go and he come home with that energy, right? Like, but how many times does he do this for you to say, hold on, this boy got a problem?
That's what I want to know.
I think it's subjective. And I think it's on...
But Ms. Green, you said something in the closing note of your show I must compliment you on.
Yes, sir.
Then you said, you got to look for a husband. That's a good move.
You better pray for the man, then.
I can pray.
Producer, please give this man...
We're going to the next caller, but I know of a Bahamian lady who sought and was granted asylum in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She used the argument that her husband was abusive. He denied and said he wasn't. She used the argument that she was sexually assaulted by her husband, right? Of course, he denied it because there's no evidence. There has been advocates, activists, who, on behalf of the wife, who said, in the Bahamas, it's legal to rape one's wife. There's no law against it. So we are being characterized, demonized. And when these foreign places see that there is no law in the Bahamas to suggest that, they seem to now believe any accusation and say, okay, more than likely we need to grant asylum in order to protect this Bahamian woman from Bahamian men. That's problematic. Especially when nothing has been proven.
What do you mean? Like, What hasn't been proven?
She accused and he denied. He say, she say. Perhaps our parliamentarians realize it's difficult and with strangers. So how does one prove it to a institution which is supposed to be consensual rape when there is no signs except if there's strong violence?
Something came up for me just now. Did you read this article, PM, women not equal, ? Y'all ruling us, man? Nassau Tribune, 26th of April, 2024. Were you reading directly from this article just now?
Go ahead.
Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis rejects the United States' observation about how women are treated in the Bahamas. The U.S. said in its latest human rights report that the Bahamian government is contributing to statelessness through discrimination against women in nationality laws. That was from an early... I didn't mean to include that excerpt, but... We know that's in the article. Asked to react to the report yesterday, Mr. Davis said, quote, "You have to look through the perspective of our eyes. Bahamian women being unfairly treated in the Bahamas, ? Y'all ruling us, man. Public service, more than 80% are dominated by females. Look in the industry, ? Stick a pin right there. You know what industry I like to look into? I like to look into politics. That's an industry, isn't it? That's the industry. They manufacture all kinds of things there, especially speculation. You remember when Glenys Hannah Martin threw a name onto the convention floor and somebody on that convention floor tell her, go get back in the kitchen? Or if she had been in the, it was something worse than that. It was nasty. Like if she had been in the kitchen, I ain't even gonna go further than that because I will run hot and throw juju at somebody every time I remember what they tried to tell Glennis Martin Hannah while she vied for leadership in AD Hannah PLP. You remember when Robin Lines was vying for a degree of leadership in the PLP at the most recent convention? Remember that?
So you're trying to suggest that the decision by the Bahamian government and this administration at this present time and previous is because of misogyny?
No, I'm suggesting that the prime minister had told the best joke here. He could only have been joking. I refuse to believe that he said this with sincerity. First of all, I refuse to believe he would treat a matter as serious as this so trivially. But given what we have seen unfold in politics over the last, let's just call it 30 years. Let's call it 30 years. No, let me be polite. Let's just call it 20 years that the prime minister could fix his mouth to say, y'all ruling us, man.
Let's go to the callers. We see we have two or three callers on now. This is time to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. If you're calling from the Family Island, which these things will happen on Family Islands anyway, 242-357-20. Oh, the person hang up while I was giving them the numbers. Oh, they call back again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning again to you, Ms. Green, and you, and good morning to you, Mr. Nuri. Just let me first say that where you spoke about Glennis Hannah Martin and leadership in politics, I think also are women. So the problem then becomes women voting for women. So this is where we don't do context, but let's go back to the...
Pause. Let's do some context then, sir. I like that you made that point. You're correct. If we are the majority of women, if the majority of us are women, why aren't women voting for more women? Because when women see who's supposed to be one of the top brass in the country getting mashed down by man them in her own party, man them that don't even wear long pants, man them that don't wear socks with shoes. Sometimes women say, you know what, maybe we still are on a plantation. Maybe we need to be more strategic. Just some context.
But the context is that voting is private, right? I would assume that your vote is private and how you vote, nobody knows. Okay? Period. But when we look at these political parties, we can't blame the systems of the parties for the what we see as some legal definition of society, of the system of the parties as a legal definition of the party. If I have a club, which Tennessee have a Tennessee of all boys club, and then door to a woman leading this all-boys club, and then it then eliminates your choices when I give you two boys to choose from, then, you know, that is an illusion of choice, and you have to then look to agitate for change of the party or simply start another one.
Cool, I get that. But that's party politics. What happens when they now need to transition to governance?
No, but that's what I'm saying. The woman was first. Women have to look, because women is the majority of all these parties too, and so they have to look to what is it in the party that needs to be changed to facilitate women entering the politics, because women may not enter the parties to put themselves in position for leadership because of the parties, not because of the opportunity in the country.
Go on, sorry, sir.
And so I'm just saying that's a different argument. But let's come back to this concept, right, where you talk with the prime minister and children facilitate, right? And this is where we always convolute and conflate things. It's like, for instance, stateless children, right? I would just always like to...
Hold on. See, Alan, I need to read that sentence from the article in there. I did not mean to bring in nationality. I want to keep that separate.
But it does. Because I'm saying to you, it goes back to the rights of children, which goes right to the rights of women, of males and females, right? Mm-hmm. And knowing their position in society, beginning with knowing who their fathers and mothers are. Mm-hmm. And that's what we avoid. But then when you go back to this marital rape, right? And I think you referenced I think it's called a treatise history of the pleas of the crown, written in the 1600s, and I think published post-family in 1736 by Sir Matthew Hale, who argued that entering a marriage gives irrevocable consent to sexual intercourse with a husband, the whole legal thing. I well researched this, especially for my country, because I don't see this as a problem in the Bahamas yet. Just like I knew he asked, where is the data to support these positions, anonymously or anything else? Because we are so small in demographics, we can't. But it goes back again to this archaic, antique concept of
money. Let me ask you just a quick question. So basically, because here's what I'm getting from you, to the point where when the texter, you heard me read the text who responded to you from my show, are you saying that, look, the problem is that we need to revise and revamp the marriage laws?
Yes. Because what happens is, there's a difference between being in a marriage and being married.
True.
See, the problem is, you can make an argument that a woman was raped while married, whether it's by her husband or a stranger, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go into a marriage. Long before the so-called assault occurs while married, one recognizes that the marriage is broken down. Yes, would be done. We have nothing to facilitate the female or male removing themselves out of that situation. Because I've heard arguments of those who support matrimony say, where are women going to go if they do whatever? And so, but here's what happens. Even if my wife and I can cohabitate, there has to be some legal documentation that lets me know, that's just me as the person, that lets me no longer have that irrevocable consent to sexual intercourse in law, because she has a legal separation that she could go and get in a day or two, and I'm served. Now, mm-hmm. we would then have to work. I would know automatically that protection no longer exists. If she wants protection, let her have it. Go to the JP, go to the courts or whatever. So what happens then is that because we're still, I think it's 1800s, we have the marital
see,
laws.
I get your point. I also just, before we go on, I want to point out that the state has been working on creating mechanisms to provide, to provide protection for women and men who find themselves victims of sexual violence or extreme violence within the marriage, right? And
right,
so we have this,
hold on,
I just want to say the spousal protection orders is one of them, right? And the spousal protection order seeks to provide solutions, particularly in that space where women say, but where are you going to go? What are you going to do next? Because the spousal protection order may result in the judge saying to the male spouse, husband, you are being instructed to vacate the premises, but you are being instructed to maintain the mortgage or the rent and or the utility bills for a defined period of time until we come back to the courts.
But this is where the separation, guess what? While that process go on, I'm in the house. I know any sexual assault to her sends me to prison, right? That's where the severing has to happen. But here's what happens to the problem we have in the Bahamas. What we have is we have a church opinion, and we have a demand from CEDAW, and
What about the other people? I mean, there are people, the civil society. Saying that the actors in civil society are only speaking CEDAW words with their Bahamian mouths?
Yes.
I challenge that. Go on.
I don't want to go on with this, right? Just pause. I'm saying to you, because two things. If you understand in a decade, and the laws of the country and understand where the problem exists, then you don't have to keep in verbatim, keep using the language, right?
So I get the point. Hold on, see, Alan, I get the point that you're making. I accept that, right? Just before we go, last thing before we go, I accept that. Why then does the government keep drafting bills? Why then does the government keep, right, as opposed to saying to CEDAW clearly, and the church, but to CEDAW specifically in this instance, this compendium of bills and of legislation in its totality represents and provides for anything that would be provided for in a explicit marital rape.
But you know why?
Law.
Because you know what scares the church? The word gender. Now listen to me, please.
Oh, I know.
The church, the church has an absolute definition of males and females. Now, here's the question. For me, I don't care of your gender identity and your gender expression. If you are genetically, by DNA, a male or female, regardless of your gender identity and your gender expression, and you are raped or assaulted, you will be protected under the law. Because you could call yourself whatever you want, but as a male, the law will protect you. And as a female, the law will protect you, regardless of your expression or your identity. This is not complicated science.
I mean, I feel you. I understand what you're saying. We're going to have to talk about it a little bit more.
We do. And this is what I'm saying to you. We have to have a talk, a truth-based expression of what we want and what we need to recognize being in a global community by which we have to exist. No country is an island under itself. We have an independence, but we have an interdependence and an interdependence.
All right.
And until we understand that as we develop as a country, we're going to stay in this cave afraid of the light.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, C. Allen. Here's my thing. If I'm married, right, and my husband raped me, and I know I can't go to the court and call it and have him charged with marital rape, because criminal offense that exists. So I could go to the court and say, charge this boy with marital rape. But I know that he raped me, right? That is true. See, when I want to talk about my personal story, when I want to talk about what happened to me, and I say, this boy raped me, what is he going to do? Is he going to take me to court to sue me to say I defaming him? Because he didn't rape me, because he was never charged and found guilty of rape? I have to say, when I write the book, is How I Survived Sexual Assault in My Marriage. I can't write my book and say How I Survived Rape in My Marriage. Outside of the law, calling things what they are is very important for people's psychological state, for our collective and individual psychological state. Calling something what it is very important. That the law doesn't recognize the offense, right, doesn't recognize the act as an offense.
A number of Baptist church in particular, mm-hmm. that religion, that Pentecostal religion, mm-hmm. Have announced that they don't agree, they don't acknowledge raping within marriage because there's one body.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to class them as people who perpetrate rape or rape culture?
No, that's not fair, right? But what is fair is if I then do an examination of your church body, right? Like if I conduct an investigative journalism project examining or observing the occurrence of rape and sexual violence within the church, right? It's fair of me to say that, or to ask the question, is the church's position on the issue creating an environment in which people feel that they have license to engage in this behavior? Is the church's position on this issue creating an environment in which this type of behavior is more likely to occur? Can we, with observation and the statistics of that violence occurs more frequently or more regularly, or there is a greater occurrence in church communities that perpetuate this belief or have this belief, and there is a lower occurrence of the same behavior in religious communities that do not perpetuate the belief? Those are reasonable things. Those are fair, right? Those are fair things to say. It's not fair to say, well, the church don't believe in that, so they are endorsing rapists. That's not fair to say. But the church, it's not fair for the church without acknowledging the space that it occupies. It's not fair for the church to act as if the church and its teachings has not perpetuated violence over centuries. So imagine that you entrench something 200 years ago and it still exists, even when the main proponents of your religion come out and declare it as no longer acceptable. When they say, we made a mistake 200 years ago, and we prepared to fix it now.
So going forward, I know we're about to end.
Yeah, I just wanted a quick sort of global stat.
Go ahead.
India government says criminalizing marital rape excessively harsh. BBC, 4th of October, 2024. Marital rape is outlawed in more than 100 countries, including Britain, which criminalized it in 1991. But India remains among the three dozen countries, along with Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, where the law remains on the statute books. Two, a number of petitions have been filed in recent years calling for striking down Section 375 of the Indian Penal Code. I just wanted to read that into the record.
Yes. Moving forward, should we anticipate that this bill is going to come back again?
Moving forward, don't let Aaron Green get married. See, because Allen says the difference between being married and being in a marriage. Also, invest in Green's grits and grotto gravy.
Y'all can't be burning good husbands.
I ain't burning nobody. I am providing an economic mechanism so that economic agency is not the reason why a marriage falls apart. Also, people like grits and gravy.
Yes. Let us pray that we become more matured in the future to address this formally. If we aren't, then just don't bring it up no more. Just dismiss it.
No, we can't do that.
No?
Because even if there's one victim, then we have to have the conversation.
And we need to have these victims come out and speak.
Understanding the sensitivities of asking people who have been victims of violence to talk about it in the public.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.